Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
This is not the
Bob Lapine mentioned lawlessness. You may notice that in the last 2 weeks, lawlessness has started to spread around the earth. The news has been full of violent people and rebels calling death and destruction in the name of lives matter. Is this logical, killing to save lives? These are times of lawlessness, each person a law to himself, each person making up his own rules, saying, if I believe it, it is right for me. We're coming into a time that Jesus Christ said would be like the times of Noah. If you read in Matthew 24 verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Will the coming of the Son of Man be? And if you go back to Genesis 6 verse 5, you'll read, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked on their hearts, saw they were full of evil. And Paul expands on this in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5. That's 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5. For I know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. The men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We can clearly see examples of all this in the world today. People are selfish and rebellious, the very opposite of what we should be. I listened last week to Pastor Adrian talking about postmodernism, and the one point he made was that the modern era dealt with reason and logic. People argued and reasoned, but the postmodern people ignore reason and go for what they feel and what they believe is right for them. And I very much remember going to down to here in the University of Ottawa to hear a lecture by Ann Coulter, and we were queuing up waiting, and there was a mob, a small group, shouting and screaming, and I tried to reason with them, and it's very clear right away that you couldn't talk to them. And in fact, Bill Watson mentioned this morning, the fact that you cannot reason with people who are high on emotion. There's just no point. In verse 13 it says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These evil men are selfish, they're deceived and they're deceiving others. An interesting example over in 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. This shows that even a man after God's own heart could be influenced by Satan. Satan influences people by putting thoughts into their minds. The word moved means that Satan put the thoughts into David's mind which were against God's command not to count the number of his warriors, so that he would not trust in numbers but trust in God for deliverance. So we need to watch our minds. And Christ mentioned in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, verse 15. Mark 4, verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their minds, in their hearts. So Satan can take the truth from people's minds if they're not careful. These are people just coming into the truth, so they're vulnerable. And in Luke 22, verses 31 to 32, Luke 22, verse 31 to 32, this is Christ just before he was crucified. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did he not? He knew somehow that Peter would stray for a short while. But Satan wanted to get at Peter. But Christ prayed for the strengthening of Peter's faith. How would Satan get at Peter? By putting thoughts into his mind, trying to undermine Peter's faith in Christ. And it's an interesting comment by James, and I'll read it from the International Children's Bible, who makes it very clear. James 4, verse 1 to 5. That's James 4, verse 1 to 5. Do you know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that make war inside you. You want things, but you do not have them. So you're ready to kill and are jealous of other people. But you still can't get what you want, so you argue and fight. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God. Or when you ask, you do not receive because the reason you ask is wrong. You want things only so that you can use them for your own pleasure. So you people are not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. But if a person wants to be a friend of the world, he makes himself God's enemy. Do you think that the scripture means nothing? It says, the spirit that God made to live in us wants us for himself alone. Our human desires to do evil are used by Satan to take us away from God. Satan uses our natural tendencies and pushes us over the brink unless we resist him through faith in God. And in verse 14 and 15 of James 1, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, it brings forth death. The human mind is naturally hostile towards God. We tend not to recognize the source of our thoughts. We listen to people, we read about ideas, we absorb ideas, and often they may not be compatible with God's word. We fail to see where these ideas come from. As it says in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, which used to be a very popular scripture in the old church, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it says in Proverbs 5 verse 22, the wicked are trapped in by their own sins. His own iniquities trap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. So what we see is the battle is in the mind. This is where we have to fight, in the mind, not with people. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have a battle to fight in our minds. We need to filter, we need to stand back from our minds and filter our thoughts to see where our thoughts come from, whether they're in line with the Bible or not. It's important that we resist our own desires, the influences of the world, and Satan. We have the three influences to battle. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And in Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 3, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is where it's coming from. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And in Galatians, this is because our battle is spiritual, we need spiritual weapons. And the key symbol of the church is the armour of God. Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. Apologies. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high places. It's not people we're fighting, it's Satan and his demons and his ideas. So we have to monitor our minds and our thoughts through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be equipped with the weapons outlined in chapter 6 following verse 13 onwards. This gives us the same mind as Christ. Read over in Philippians 2 verse 1 to 7. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look not only on his interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but was willing, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He was willing to give up all the glory. And in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God's Spirit not only gives us the power, but also a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this world seems to have lost sanity. They're now trying to pull down statues of Lincoln, who got rid of slavery. Is that sanity? 2nd of how we must act. 2nd of Timothy 2, verse 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, that God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Therefore we can witness to people so that God grants them repentance, that they can escape the influence of Satan in their lives.